Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A British tourist died of a suspected heart attack as he was cheering on strippers in a Thailand bar.
Oh, man.
James Downing, who was 61 years old, was sitting next to a stage, excitedly brandishing a foam baton when he toppled face first onto the floor.
So the show was so good, he got a heart attack. Where is this place, Preston?
It's in Thailand.
No, I mean a street address.
Oh, Mr. Downing was enjoying a strip club show at the Go-Go Club on Bangkok's infamous Soi Cowboy Street.
Soi Cowboy Street.
When he collapsed and medics and bar staff performed CPR, but he died at the scene. A woman working at the venue said he was just sitting there enjoying himself. He had a toy like a police baton. He was playing with it. He then fell forward. His face hit the ground. Staff initially thought he was drunk. However, medics later blamed a massive heart attack or seizure at the club.
They say the mortician had to use firecrackers to get the smile off his face.
A sleazy soy cowboy, a 150-yard street, which was actually featured in the movie The Hangover Part 2.
Oh, okay. I know. Yes.
Yeah. This is the area that's crammed with around 40 raunchy clubs and bars that remain open to the wee hours. And you can get all the entertainment you want there. And apparently it killed this guy.
And yet, oddly enough, Preston, right in the middle of it all, a Christian Science reading room.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Hey, Dylan McWilliams doesn't believe the old saying about lightning never striking twice. Not after he was attacked by a shark Thursday in the waters off Kauai. Less than a year after he was mauled and dragged by a black bear in the wilds of Colorado, and certainly not after he was bitten by a rattlesnake in Utah a little over 3 years ago.
Dear God, stop going outside.
He doesn't know what it is about him that draws dangerous predators with sharp teeth. He said, I'm either really lucky or really unlucky. As it turns out, McWilliams, who is 20 years old, spends more time outdoors than most folks. He's a former tree trimmer, ranch hand, and survival training instructor who loves extended journeys into the wilderness.
So how bad was the bear mauling?
Well, I'll get to all of that. He discovered this beautiful landscape of Kauai last year when he backpacked solo around the island. He came back for another two-week backpacking tour Sunday, but ended up on the North Shore helping distressed residents clean up and move trees following last weekend's storms and flooding. He observed the muddy coastal waters, and he knew that nearly all of the island was under what they call a brown water advisory. Huge storm events like that are notorious for turning the water brown and luring sharks for an easy meal.
Is that right?
Yeah, so by Wednesday, he was itching to get in the surf. He decided to head south to search for clear water. He found it at Shipwreck Beach, part of the small section of Kauai coastline not included in the brown water advisory. Bright and early Thursday morning, the waves were water was clear and there were good waves, and there were a handful of people that were enjoying the surf. So he jumped in with his boogie board around 7:30 a.m., caught his first wave, and as he was headed back out, another wave knocked him off his board in 15 feet of water about 30 yards from the shore, and that's when he felt the searing pain in his right calf. Ah! He said, at first I panicked. I didn't know if I lost half my leg or what. Beneath him was what looked like a 6 to 8 foot tiger shark. He said he saw the stripes.
But it was a bear in a scuba suit.
And he gave it a swift kick before launching into a desperate swim to shore. He said that was the scariest part. I didn't know where the shark was, and I didn't know if he would come after me again.
Oh, my God.
On the beach, his calls for help were heard by a woman who came to his aid. She called authorities, and as he sat on the beach, his leg dripping with blood, he realized his injuries could have been a lot worse. After the paramedics arrived, he turned down the expensive ride to the hospital, and the woman volunteered to take him for help. There he only ended up with 7 stitches.
Well, for crying out, Carrie Underwood had more stitches.
Yeah.
She fell in her home.
But this was a shark that attacked him. Now, in July, McWilliams received 9 staples in his scalp after a 280-pound black bear woke him as he slept outdoors with other staff members at a summer camp.
Hey, you up?
The bear bit into back of his head and dragged him about 12 feet. McWilliams said that he remembers waking up to the sound of the crunching of his skull. Ugh. And as he was being dragged away, he instinctively fought back, throwing punches and poking the bear in the eye.
Ow, hear that? That's your skull.
He said he dropped me as soon as I did that. And he said the bear stomped on him and finally slunk away as other camp staffers came to the rescue.
His leg is bitten. His skull is actually, there's an audible crunching sound.
Yeah.
And he manages to walk away.
So do you guys think that he put this bad luck behind him, or is he just biding his time until the next incident?
Well, the next is obviously going to be a goose attack.
He said, if I push on the back of my head, it still hurts a little. The teeth scars,
and don't push on it.
The teeth scars are still there, but the claw marks on his forehead have faded. And he said, I guess I was in the wrong spot at the wrong time. Now, luck was on his side, just as it was 3.5 years ago when a pygmy faded rattlesnake surprised him as he was hiking out of a canyon near Moab, Utah.
Yeah.
Turns out it was what they call a dry bite, which gave him only enough venom to make him ill for a day or two. He said, my parents are grateful I'm at least still alive.
That's just insane. So
the dude has had some serious run-ins.
It's like those forest rangers that get hit by lightning, you know, 5-6 times.
Yep.
Change your occupation.
Yep. All right, and then one last story. Greyhound says it is investigating how a bus meant to take passengers from Cleveland to New York ended up in Toledo. The bus, which left Cleveland several hours late on Thursday, was headed east through Pennsylvania when it started experiencing problems. The company says the driver was instructed to head back to Cleveland and get a new bus, but instead he drove about 2 hours past Cleveland to Toledo.
Cleveland, Toledo, what's the difference?
The opposite direction.
You know, I thought there'd be a lot more mountains.
Passenger Morgan Staley says they spent about 7 hours just going in a circle. He said, I woke up around 8 and I see signs that we're headed back towards Ohio.
Oh, boy.
We tried calling corporate. We tried calling customer service and everybody just kept talking in circles.
Well, I don't know.
Greyhound said in a statement, because of an error made, which we're currently looking into to obtain details, the driver went back to Toledo. However, the driver immediately departed for Cleveland, exchanged the bus once they arrived, and the customers then continued on to their destination.
That's a beautiful run, by the way, Cleveland to Toledo.
I'll bet. The company
so scenic.
Says passengers interested in a refund can contact customer service.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
A New York mailman has been arrested for stockpiling thousands of pieces of undelivered mail spanning almost 15 years.
Oh, my God.
Like in the job description, he's supposed to deliver that,
he's
right?
He's supposed to deliver that. The man, Alexei Girmish, has been with the U.S. Postal Service for 16 years before his bosses received a tip about a parked car with 20 bags of undelivered mail. Let me say this again. So he's been doing this for 15 years. He's been working for the post office for 16 years. 1 year into it, he decided that he didn't like delivering mail.
This doesn't work for me. He's walking around and putting in the little slots. It's difficult.
The USPS called Girmish for questioning, asked about the car. The post office veteran confirmed that the vehicle in question was his own Nissan Pathfinder.
That's mine. That's the one with the 15 years worth of mail in it.
And the mailbags inside it were packages and letters that he was meant to have delivered. Now, Girmish allegedly told investigators that he was simply overwhelmed by the amount of mail that he had delivered, but he made sure to deliver the important mail.
Okay.
Oh. Well, I read through everything, and if something was really important, I delivered it.
While the rest...
But, you know, I kept all the gifts and the baked goods.
The rest stayed in his car, apartment, and work locker.
Well, maybe that's an extra feature that they can offer where they curate your mail.
After a brief search of Girmish's possession, investigators found around 17,000 pieces of undelivered mail.
Wow, why
would you keep that?
Well, also, think about the amount or the likelihood of very essential information that never reached its destination.
Well, yeah, I trust him.
It's okay, I checked.
He delivered the important
Louis,
stuff.
This is only going to aggravate you.
The biggest hoard...
With the bills and all this, it's annoying.
The biggest hoard of packages and letters was in the mailman's car.
Mm-hmm.
Estimated that the Nissan contained about 10,000 pieces of undelivered mail.
I need a good car that can hold about 10,000 pieces of mail.
Approximately 1,000 pieces lay in the man's locker at the post office.
No one ever saw that?
While another 6,000 or so pieces remain in his apartment. If deemed to have unlawfully destroyed, detained, or delayed post, a worker can face up to 5 years in prison, while if deemed to have been done so improperly, as opposed to illegally, he could still face up to a year in prison.
Jeez.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody recently who was a retired postal letter carrier, and maybe this is a topic for conversation, but now everything is GPS, so they know exactly where you are at all times. But he said for a good stretch there, he would get done his day in like 3 hours. Then he would go and play golf for a little bit, and he would have to race off the golf course to go and punch out.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the demand was really on being the most effective golf player he could possibly
yeah,
be.
As quickly as he could.
He had to get his game up to snuff.
As efficiently as he could play.
If I birdie every hole, I'll be out of here on time.
A homeless man dressed only in American flag shorts was arrested Thursday after allegedly stealing a truck full of beer and leading police on a highway chase. Police later identified the suspect as Matt Herzmeyer. He was charged with suspicion of vehicle theft, resisting arrest, and violation of his probation. A Coors truck driver was making a delivery at a liquor store when a customer entered the store and told the driver that a man had climbed into his parked car or parked truck and driven away. The customer described the suspect as an apparent homeless man dressed only in red, white, and blue shorts. They're American flag shorts.
Yes. Well, at least he's patriotic.
Yeah. A GPS system inside the truck gave police the suspect's location within minutes. Police officers were dispatched to the scene where the witness reportedly seeing the suspect on foot after having apparently abandoned the truck. Video showed the man jumping the divider and fleeing into brush along with his star-spangled shorts still waving. Let's see here. The ex-boyfriend, this is a horrible story, of a jailed woman named Jordan Wirth has bravely spoken out about the years of mental and physical abuse he suffered at her hands. Alex Skeel has waived his right to anonymity to reveal how 22-year-old Wirth, who wanted to be a teacher, made his life misery during their six-year relationship. He said that Wirth stabbed him, attacked him with boiling water, and banned him from contacting his family and friends.
Jeez.
Wirth was jailed for 7.5 years earlier this week after she admitted controlling or coercing behavior in an intimate relationship, wounding with intent, and causing grievous bodily harm with intent. Mr. Skeel said, I thought my limbs might have to be amputated. I had open burns. I lost three. This is out of England. So he said, I lost 3 stones in weight. A stone is 18 pounds. So he lost like 50 pounds.
Wow.
I went from 10 stones down to 7. It was awful. It was 3 years of mental abuse, and then it turned physical. The couple met at college and went to live together. Mr. Skeel said that Wirth was mentally abusive for about 3 to 4 years before she started turning violent in the final 9 months of their relationship. He admitted that he believed her when she said that the abuse was normal, as he was wooed by her, he said.
Woo!
Isolated from his family by her demands, he said that his parents suspected that he was being mentally abused and did not know about the physical violence. He said,
so he bought all this and just figured it was normal?
Yeah, you know, he's probably got some issues, and I don't know. But
and Preston, supposedly her private parts smelled like burning rubber.
Oh, dear yeah. Lord. That sounds familiar.
You could have been a victim yourself.
He said it started off with little things, with her just hitting me and punching me, and then it got to her having a bottle in her hand.
You do those playful things where Rochelle will break a bottle on the counter and hold it to your neck, right?
Yeah, of course. And every time I removed the weapon, she would go to the next one and led it to being hit with hammers, getting stabbed with knives, and having boiling water thrown on me. Wow.
She really loves me.
So the extent of the abuse became apparent during a court hearing, and she's going to jail.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, it's horrible. Let's see here. Georgia high school student Alexandria Clark, who has been interning at a funeral home and wants to be a funeral director, arrived to her prom in a casket on Saturday.
That's kind of cool.
Clark explained, I was thinking about my class and how they're going to prom and doing the bad stuff after prom, like having drugs and doing all that. And she hopes that the reminder about mortality will make them think twice about doing so.
Yeah, that's what it was about.
Ugh. The stunt went viral. Kathy, would anybody ever show up at a hearse or a casket at your school for their prom?
You know what? I don't know, but I actually just printed out a story for you in USA Today about that prom.
Oh, really? Story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then one last story. In Costco in Australia, in Canberra, Australia, a diamond ring is being sold for $388,000.
$388,000 at Costco, and it's in like a regular case, right?
Yeah, the reporter posted a picture of the solitaire stone on Twitter. It's in the aisle between bulk AA batteries and dustpans, she wrote.
It's just insane.
The post
is this a stunt for marketing or?
Well, it went viral online. She just, not really. She said, if I'm spending a half mil on a ring, I'm definitely not buying it from Costco. So it doesn't sound like it's a stunt. But you
wear your $500,000 diamond rings.
She said you have to buy them in the value six pack. Joking, obviously. While the wholesale retailer is known for selling household items in bulk, it currently is selling engagement rings online for up to $420,000.
At Costco.
At Costco, believe it or not.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.